So this is a Psalm of David. Actually, scholars put this down as the warrior king, David. And one of the things about this psalm is that it is found in 2 Samuel chapter 22. There it was a song. Here it is also a song. But it is also a song of thanksgiving to God for what God has done in David's life. And most scholars would agree, at least the ones that I looked at, most scholars believe that this was halfway through David's life, halfway through his reign as king. And what David is doing is he is giving praise and honor and glory to God for deliverance. For deliverance. So here you have a very personal psalm. And by the way, the metaphors are on top of each other. Something that we think about here is that there's eight metaphors and they are stacked on top of each other. This is coming out of David's heart. This is coming out of somebody who has a personal relationship with God. Secondly, you will note about this psalm is that it is always my God, my rock, my strength. David here is exposing his relationship with God and how much he sees God's influence on his life, and he is basically in love with Yahweh. And as we look and we unfold this text, God is, David says, our strength. And I changed that to include us this morning. God is our strength. David starts by saying, I love you, Reham, which is a feeling of strong affection based on a relationship. When you look at the relationship of David to God, it was close. Now, David, like us, had a lot of problems. He sometimes did not follow God, was disobedient, yet the scriptures say that David was a man after God's own heart. You know what that says to me? There's hope for us. There's hope for us. Because we don't do it right all the time, and we're under the grace umbrella of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? We are under the grace. And David says, I love you. That's unusual language, particularly from a warrior king, to say, I love you, Yahweh, Jehovah, the true God. He says that this relationship is based on love. And let me encourage us to think about something just for a second, that our relationship with God is not based on what he has done for us, though those are many. Our relationship is one in which we fall in love with Christ. Strange language for our times. Strange language for men to fall in love with Jesus Christ. But David gives us the model here. He gives us the model. Men, you are supposed to be in love with Jesus. It will make a big difference in your lives. Women, you are in love with Jesus. It'll make a big difference in your life. David says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Hezek is the word for strength. Ability to perform and to give courage. Can you imagine being David without God's strength? How he would rush into battle. Was reading to Levi last night before I went to bed. We were reading David and Goliath. And, of course, I just barely got to the end of it and he was asleep. But we read that where a little child against all of these men that were afraid to face the Philistines' giant. A little kid, a little child says, the Lord is with me. Relationship. This is all about a relationship with God. David was a little shepherd boy. God blessed him, and he took down Goliath. Even though Goliath was taunting the armies of God, this little shepherd boy took down a giant. Where did that strength come from? Where does that come from? It comes from Yahweh, the one true God. When you are confronted with things in your life, brothers and sisters, strength comes from God to give you the ability, as David did with Goliath, to give you the ability to stand up to whatever comes against you. Praise be to God. Not only that, but David says that God is not only our strength, but our rock. I always think of Peter when I think of rock, Petros, but this word is Selah. And it refers really to a defensive position. The Lord, I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, Lord, my rock. Something happened to the PowerPoint. If you think about what David's talking about, can you imagine being the nation of Israel up here in the mountains? If you're the enemy and you are trying to attack, you've got problems. Because you can't really hide from down here, because the enemies of God's people can look down and see. And they can take you wherever you are. Well, the second problem you have is that if you try to go up the mountain, they can see you too and knock you out. So what he is saying here is, God is my rock, my defense shield. I think of Ephesians chapter 6, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of this world. And then immediately Paul says to put on the armor of God, and we think about the defensive, there's only one offensive weapon in there, and that's the word of God. You do realize that God is your rock. He is your defense. Though everything be aligned against you, God will fight for you. He will defend you. Think of times in Bible college, Marcus Caraway, when he said, I saved and, you know, spun out on the interstate. This big rainstorm came and I lost control. And he said, I spun around, but God saved me. He secured me. And Dr. Windsor, one of the wisest men I've ever met, I think, he looked at Marcus Caraway and he goes, that's one you knew about. That was one time you knew that God was your fortress, your rock. Oh, and then he goes on to say, God is our fortress. This may be one of my favorite words in this text. Masuda. It really is a, oh, and by the way, I don't know if I said this at the beginning of this, all of these metaphors are military terms. They're all military terms, which fits in nicely with David's reign because he was a warrior king. Masuda. And by the way, this is the mountain Masada in Israel. Let me show you a picture. This is the fortress that David is talking about. I want you to get the image here that even though David is the one fighting, the one behind him that has the power is God. When David said, you are my fortress, this is what he's talking about. High and lifted up. How can the enemy of God get David? Well, he can't. He can't. You know what? So many times in our lives, we just worry ourselves sick. Right? We get worried over things. Give it to God and ask God to be your fortress. Ask God to keep you safe from the enemy. I'm going to say this, and I want you to write it down at some point today. We do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. The victory has already been won by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we don't fight to gain the victory. The victory is already ours in Jesus Christ. When he said it is finished on the cross and he died, it is finished. He is now our king, and he keeps us in a relationship with him, and he fights our battles for us. Maceda. He's also our deliverer. He is also our deliverer. Palat. This refers to one who rescues. This is a good image of a rescue. One who this deliverance. God is my deliverer. Think of it this way. The starting point of salvation is God delivering us from a situation that we cannot control. In fact, when it says God is our deliverer, it refers to a God who is compassionate and reaches down and pulls us out of a horrible situation. That's what salvation is. We are in a horrible situation, and God in his grace and mercy pulls us safely out. I bet you everybody in this sanctuary this morning has a story when God delivered you. It may be at the moment of salvation, or it may be some point in your life down the road where God delivered you. Do you know what you can say this morning? You and I can say, I love you, O Lord. You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my deliverer. You should be saying this. That's what God is. That's who he is. He's also our refuge. God is our refuge. He repeats, Selah, my rock, in whom I take refuge. And the word there, refuge, refers to a safe place. A place where you can go and you can find refuge. You know, this is probably the most quiet of the places. It's a place where we become still. We are so busy. We are so busy with our lives, and we are so busy doing this and this and this and this, and we got all these problems and situations. You need to find a place of refuge. Just like a prayer closet, it should be a quiet place where you feel the presence of God. It should be a place where you allow God to surround you. Do you know if you could get to that kind of place? Because literally a place of refuge is a place of rest and trust and relaxing. We see this language in the New Testament as well. Cast all of your anxieties on him, and he will give you refuge or rest. And this is something that we need to get better at. In our lives and in our homes, we need to rest in his unchanging hands. You are my God. You are my deliverer. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my refuge in whom I trust. Not only that, David says, God is our shield. God is our shield. Now listen, Magan. And this word refers to something that is impenetrable. Something that cannot get through. I think of David's shield that he would use into battle. This reminds me of the shield of faith in Ephesians chapter 6. So that you can extinguish the fiery darts that come against you. David may have taken a shield into battle, but make no mistake, God was his shield. You may do whatever you do in your life, but make no mistake that God is the one with the power behind you. He is the one that is protecting you, that is guarding you, that is keeping you safe, that will deliver you at just the right moment when you think there's no way possible that God could deliver me. At that moment, God reaches down and pulls you out and keeps you safe. You say, well, what about missionaries overseas that die? They are in the kingdom of God. No better place to be than that. David said, God is my shield. We may see a physical shield, but God is the one protecting David, and I'm going to say it, God is the one protecting you and me. Do y'all believe that? That's very, very, very important. But not only that, you see, these metaphors are just piling up, piling up. He's our strength, our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our refuge, our shield, and he is our horn of salvation, David says. Keren is the Hebrew word for horn. Horn was symbolic of strength and power in David's time. When we look at what it refers to rams who are butting their heads. These rams, this is powerful stuff. When David talks about the horn, he's talking about when you get ready to attack in battle. It is a sign of power. It is a sign of we're getting ready to attack you. You better be ready because we not only have the forces here, but we have the force of God with us behind it. He is the horn of my salvation. Different word for us in the New Testament. That means deliverance for us, generally. Here it's Yasha. I love that, Yasha. And what that means is victory. So when David says, and the horn of my salvation, he is saying that when we attack, God is the one who defeats the enemies. Again, let me say this. You do not fight for the victory, you fight from the victory. God has already won the battle. You have already won the battle against the enemy. No matter how many times he comes against you, God is your rock, he's your fortress, he's your deliverer, he's your shield, he's the horn of your salvation. He will deliver you safely into his kingdom someday. And all we have to do is fall in love with him like David did. Trust him, believe in him, and stop all the worrying and wondering that's going on in our hearts daily, and just say, my God, my rock, my deliverer, my fortress, my refuge, my shield, my horn of salvation. God, I know that you will fight for me. You are more powerful than I am. Not only that, we think about the military and show of force. Do you know I've actually heard, thinking about missionaries this week, you know I actually heard a story of a missionary who was in a very bad situation. This is one, there's many of them, where the people were going to go kill the missionary. And when they showed up to the home, the people who showed up to kill the missionary started running because there was like a large crowd of people. And when the missionary was asked about it, it was just him. Do you know who that was? That was God. We don't see it much here. We don't hear stories like that much here. I wonder why. Just curious. Not only that, but God is our stronghold. Look at these metaphors. I love you, O Lord, and let me count the ways. Every one of these, again, brothers and sisters, is a military thing which David needed to win battles. And as you live your Christian life, you are at war. Did you know that? The enemy does not like you. The enemy wants to hurt you every way that he can. But God will not allow it. God will not allow you to go through something that he hasn't already said it's okay to go through. Otherwise, God will knock it out. You will not face that. And even if you do face it, you have a God who is strength, rock, fortress, deliverer, refuge, shield, horn, and stronghold. Isn't that good? I like that a lot. That gave me so much encouragement this week. Miscave. Do you know what miscave is? And I'm talking here about stronghold. Miscave, this is all military. Go back, maybe study it later in the day or whatever. But this stronghold, miscave. I just love the Hebrew. I said it once already, twice probably last week. I love the Hebrew language because it sounds so awesome. Miscave. This is what it means. God is my miscave, my high tower. Do you know what is in the high tower? That's where you post your watch person. The watch person watches for the enemy. David was saying, God is in the tower. He knows where my enemies are, and he can destroy them. Wow. You see what David's painted here? He's painted every possible scenario. And he's also said this. That is why I love God. David did not do this in his own strength, brothers and sisters. And neither will you. You do not live this Christian life apart from the power and the strength of God. In the presence of Holy Jesus, within the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not your fight. This is God's fight. And I will tell you this again. You will be victorious because we fight from the victory. Not for the victory. David concludes these three little verses. Oh yeah, and God is worthy of praise. God is worthy of worship. He begins here with prayer. In verse 6, I call upon the Lord, kaha. You know, this is a very interesting word too. David's using a lot of words, a lot of interesting words. Here. This means to come into one's presence. It kind of reminds me of Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of God that we may find grace in our hour of need. You can go directly to God. Your rock, your fortress, your refuge, your deliverer, your stronghold, the one who fights for you, you can go to him on your own. And without sounding like an Eastern mystic, you know what I think we need to do in our prayer life? Because this, the image, I can't really explain the image fully. It definitely deals with prayer. But there is this sense in David's own heart that he is standing in the presence of God. So when you pray, brothers and sisters, and when you think about prayer, close your eyes and picture yourself standing before God. Think about that for a second. Get that image in your heart. Standing before God. How does that change your prayer? Sometimes we just pray, "Oh Lord, thank you." And instead, David says, "I call upon God. I am in His presence." We need to get back to praying in the presence of God. And I get it. There's times you've got to do a fast prayer, but couldn't we all, and I've been convicted myself, couldn't we all just take a minute, stop, and picture ourselves before the throne of God, and then pray what we need to pray, and it could also possibly change the way that we pray. If we are praying in the presence of God and we draw that image of God in our mind and in our heart and we pray to Him, it could very well change. When we call on God, we have every right we have every right to do that, to call on Him. But I think sometimes we lose the essence of prayer. The essence of prayer is coming before the throne of God. That's what David says. The last one is praise. 3b. Who is worthy to be praised? And I am saved from my enemies. I'm sorry about my coughing, the sinuses, but who is worthy to be praised? And I am saved from my enemies. Worthy. As soon as I looked up the definition and saw the meaning of it, looked at the stem, I immediately thought of the Apostle Paul. Immediately. I go, that's Paul. You know why? Because this word worthy means bragging. Do you remember what Paul said? I boast in nothing except Jesus Christ. If I brag, I brag on Him. David said, He is worthy to be praised. I'm going to brag on God. He's letting the whole world know that He's going to brag on what Yahweh has done in His life. Brothers and sisters, did you know that in and of itself is an evangelistic tool that can be used in this world today? To brag on what Jesus has done in your life and your heart. You can tell people, Jesus is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my friend. He is my Savior. He is my refuge. He is my place of strength. And He is the one I love. What a witness. And there were people through the centuries that came back and read David's words. David, the warrior king, I love you, O Lord. Wow. I love you, O Lord. That's what people see. That's what people have seen through the histories that have read this. The warrior king, the kid who knocked out a giant in the name of the Lord, who trusted in Him, the one who God gave great deliveries to. Yes, the one who messed up a few times. I understand that. Nonetheless, a man after God's own heart. And this is what the man of God says. I love you, O Lord. What's wrong with me that I can't love God and trust Him exactly as David did? What's my problem? You know what David's doing? You do realize that worship happens every day, right? This is just the locker room where you get to come, sing to God, you get a sermon that hopefully encourages you and empowers you to go out and live for Him. But worship happens every day in your life and mine. David says, He is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. You know what this whole psalm centers on? The love of God. And the acknowledgement of what God has done in your life.